Are you going to lead us?
All right.
Begin. Thank you. Good morning, everybody.
Morning.
Full house today. Nice to have you here. Welcome. See some visitors in the congregation. You know what? Let's take a moment and introduce yourselves to people who are sitting in front of you and back of you. And say hello, greet one another. We're all neighbors. Jim, do you know most of the people in this church? This guy comes from Hickory Lake. Lutheran pastor, been checking up on us to see if we're doing our work. Emissary of the Lord, so be good. Yeah. So far, so good, he says. Well, give him a few moments. Thanks to everybody who helped out with the beef and corn feed. Food was great, the fellowship was great. I visit around, especially I visit with people who I haven't met or don't know, and they just appreciate what the church does in this corner of the world. So the fellowship that happens, the community that we build by doing that, you know, just goes a long, long way. In this world, especially what happened in Colorado this week, community is what it's about, and sharing God's love is what it's all about. And so, well done, good and faithful servants. Thank you. Along with that, on the bulletin board in the narthex, our veggie stand folks, we got lots of visitors to the veggie stand. And on the veggie stand, or on that board there, there's a number of people who bake and bake and bake and bake, but it hurts the pocketbook. And so there's some, how did you say that, Maynard? Pecans or something like that? There's pecans there. I call it pecan, but I'm... Anyway, and there's butter and there's other things up there. If you'd like to help with the veggie stand, pick one of those things out and bring it, put it in the kitchen, and there'll be a place for the veggie stand to use some of those baking type items. If you haven't been to the veggie stand, the corn, we followed up from first it came from Florida, then South Carolina, then a couple weeks from Indiana. The last couple weeks it's been coming from Waverly, Minnesota. So it's good Minnesota corn. The other thing is, on your announcements, watch for your neighborhood care group assignments. I suppose 8 or 9 years ago we had something called cell groups. We divided our congregation up into little groups of 5 or 6 or 7 families and had them check in with one another. There's still a few of those groups out there, but we thought in light of... I look around and I see some grandkids here. You know, but all I see are retired folks. I'm looking for someone younger than me. Yeah, oh, there you are, Valerie. We're going to divide up and be little groups. I want you to, you'll get your assignments. You'll get to see who are members of the church that live in your neighborhood. And the idea is that you call and check in on each other once in a while. After a big storm, call and see if everything's okay. If someone goes to the hospital, make some soup and bring over. If you head south for the winter, send each other a postcard or have a farewell party or something like that. But we want you to be a little neighborhood group that looks in and cares for each other. That's being the body of Christ. That's being the church. And if there's other neighbors in your who aren't members of the church, they want to be a part of that group, invite them too, because this is, you know, check in and get to know your neighbors and care for your neighbors and love your neighbors. So you'll be getting more information on that, and you'll be seeing who in your neighborhood is a member of the church. Nancy, you got a whole little group down there on Malone Island, don't you? Yeah. Oh, no, that's down in... The Malone Island is another little group. There's like 34 or 35 groups. So, I mean, I look around, I can see I know where everybody lives. And yeah. Anyway, that's what that's all about. So keep your eyes and ears open for that. We've been blessed. It's nice to have you here. Let's begin with a word of prayer. O Lord, our Heavenly Father, we gather each from our own homes thankful for your Spirit that moves us to gather with brothers and sisters in Christ, fellow sojourners. We gather on Sunday morning to sing wonderful songs, say our prayers, to hear your word. We pray your Spirit might be coming alive in us, that we can hear your word of truth and your word of love. Especially in these difficult days where we hear tragedies in Colorado. It's pretty close to home. Could happen here. And so, remind us of your love and your presence in our lives. And allow us to bring this love to bear wherever we travel, through our words and through our actions. Send your Spirit now, Lord, as we worship in your name. Amen. Today we'll be using the Blue Book, and we're going to change the first song. We're going to go to 777, 777 instead of 775. We'll rise during the singing of the last verse. Please turn to page 1 of your bulletins. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God who forgives all our sin, whose mercy endures forever.
Amen.
Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. If someone says, I love God, yet hates his or her brother or sister, that person is a liar. For one cannot love God who is not seen, if one cannot love a brother or sister who is seen. This then is the command Christ gave us. Anyone who loves God must also love a brother or sister. O Divine Master, grant that we may not so much seek to be consoled as to console. To be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love. Amen. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. God of eternal love, we pray you will listen as we confess our failures in love and friendship. We talk about such things as caring, community, and concern, but instead we show anger, hostility, and greed. We talk about faith, hope, and love, but instead we show injustice, distrust, and apathy. We talk about kindness, forgiveness, and gentleness, but instead we show hate, spite, and selfishness. Forgive the sins of our fallen condition, the sins of our broken promises, and the sins we dare not name. In the name of Jesus, who was crucified for sin, forgive us. This is how God showed love for us. Jesus came into the world so we might have life. That is what love is. It is not that we have loved God, but that God loves us and sent Jesus to be the means by which our sins are forgiven.
Amen.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O God, powerful and compassionate, you shepherd your people, faithfully feeding and protecting us. Heal each of us and make us a whole people, that we may embody the justice and peace of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Please be seated.
bells. We are so blessed to have you continue to play with us since Leah's left. Great going. Our lesson this morning, the first reading, is Ephesians 2, 13 through 22. The author of this letter is reminding his audience that originally they were not part of God's chosen people. Through Jesus' death, however, they are included in God's household of faith, whose cornerstone is Jesus Christ. And now in Christ Jesus, you who are once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace. In his flesh he has made both groups into one and has broken down the dividing wall, that is, the hostility between us. He has abolished the law with its commandments and ordinances, and he might create in himself one new humanity in place of the two, thus making peace, and might reconcile both groups to God in one body through the cross, thus putting to death that hostility through it. So he came and proclaimed peace to you who were far off, and peace to those who were near. For through him both of us have access to one Spirit, to the Father. So when you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are citizens with the saints and also members of the household of God, built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the cornerstone. In him the whole structure is joined together and grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are built together spiritually into a dwelling place for God. Here ends the reading. The Psalms today is Psalms 23, one of our favorites. Please respond with the bold print, and when you see bold R, respond with, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want." The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want.
The Lord makes me lie down in green pastures, and leads me beside still waters.
You restore my soul, O Lord, and guide me along right pathways for your name's sake.
Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want.
You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, and my cup is runneth over.
Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want.
Please rise for the reading of the gospel.
The Holy Gospel this morning is found in the 6th chapter of St. Mark, beginning with the 30th verse. When Jesus sent his disciples out to teach and heal, they ministered among large numbers of people. Their work was motivated by Christ's desire to be among those in need. The apostles gathered around Jesus and told him all that they had done and taught. He said to them, "Come away to a deserted place all by yourselves and rest for a while." For many were coming and going, and they had no leisure even to eat. And then they went away in the boat to a deserted place by themselves. Now many saw them going and recognized them, and they hurried there on foot from all the towns and arrived ahead of them. As he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion for them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. When they had crossed over, they came to a land at Gennesaret and moored the boat. When they got out of the boat, people at once recognized him and rushed about that whole region and began to bring the sick on mats to wherever they heard he was. And wherever he went, into villages or cities or farms, they laid the sick in the marketplaces and begged him that they might touch even the fringe of his cloak. And all who touched it were healed. The word of God, the word of life. Please be seated as we sing hymn number 741, "Thy Holy Wings."
Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I wish that 24-year-old would have known this song. I wish he would have prayed, "Oh, close thy wings around me and keep me safely there, for I am but a newborn and need thy tender care." I think we might have shut this guy off, that he would crawl into himself and do such terrible things. But we build walls around ourselves. I hope you're not building walls around yourselves. A lot of people love walls, love fences. It keeps them out and keeps me safe within. Huh? Robert Frost, I think, said it. Fences make good neighbors. Sometimes we build these walls and they think we're more secure. Sometimes we build these walls and within our own walls we find salvation, but that just doesn't work. It's when we reach out and care and love and risk and enter each other's pain that we find life and fulfillment and joy and peace and hope. I think this guy crawled into himself and didn't know where to find help. Think of the walls. I think of the Great Wall of China. It took 1,700 years to build that Great Wall. They say if they stretched it out, it would be 1/20th of the circumference of the earth. That's how long that wall is. Think of how many people and how many years spent their lives building that Great Wall of China. I think of the Berlin Wall, built in 1961. To keep their people from escaping in East Germany. And then I still remember, and you do too, as I accept for you two little gals, President Ronald Reagan outside the wall. "Mr. Gorbachev, tear these walls down." And on November 9th, 1989, those walls came down. Shoot, that's 23 years ago already. You're getting old, Phil. Walls. I was visiting with a doctor down in, lives in North Oaks, and he was telling me that that's always been how they made it a gated community. I says, "Why do you need the gates?" I was thinking about walls. He says, "Well, it keeps us safe within and keeps them out." And I was thinking later on, I didn't want to talk to him, but who was he talking about that keeps them out? I think of that song, and you folks remember it too, most of you, from the 60s. "I'm in with the in crowd. I go where the in crowd goes. I know what the in crowd knows." You remember that song? Walls, walls, everywhere walls. We build walls. We don't want to share who we are, what we are, how we live, or what's good and what's bad. That's why we want to do these neighborhood caring groups, you know, so we don't wall ourselves in and live within our loneliness. Huh? Even in churches, we build walls. You've heard me say before, you know, we're all here to say our prayers. We're all here to figure life out. We come and say our prayers and talk to God and try to understand who He is and what He wants us to do. But we're afraid to talk to other people. We're afraid to greet one another or find out who each other is. But you guys are okay, you know. We're all children of God. I've got a friend, John Peschick, just retired pastor. He, Big John from Nebraska, about 6'8", drives a big Harley Davidson, wears his leathers, wears the little do-rag. It's the studded and the boots and the whole thing. He does evangelism for churches. Sometime I'm going to invite him here. He'll drive in with his motorcycle and sit in front and go, "Vroom, vroom," and really roar. And then he'll get off and look around and people kind of see him with his do-rag and this big guy with the black leather studded jackets and tattoos. And Skip looks nothing like John Pesci. Anyway, and they kind of avoid him and come in. And then after the first song comes in, John walks right in and tries to sit down. And usually people, "It ain't going to happen here, Buster." And then the pastor introduces John, and he talks about how we shut people out, how we build walls around ourselves, you know. You know who doesn't like walls? Jesus. He doesn't like walls. I cut out that first few sentences, but the secretary included, so when it was read, the epistle lesson, You guys, I saw y'all. Let me read it again. Let me tell you why Jesus doesn't like walls. Paul's writing. He says, "But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made the two groups one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by setting aside in his flesh the law with its commands and regulations." So Jesus cut out the commands and the regulations. And then Paul tells us what his purpose was. His purpose was to create in himself one new humanity out of the two, thus making peace, and in one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross, by which he put to death their hostility. He came and preached peace to you who were far away, and peace to those who were near. So there were two groups, one far away, one near. It was actually the Gentiles and the Jews, and Jesus brought the Gentiles and Jews together. For through him we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners or strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people. You are no longer foreigners or strangers, but fellow citizens. We're brothers and sisters in Christ here. In him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. The wall that Paul is referring to are the Jews. And they would have just preferred to be the Jewish community, but then Simon Peter had a vision. And St. Paul had a passion, and together they broke down the walls that separated the two. They began to understand that Jesus didn't like walls of any kind, particularly walls that make some people feel inferior or rejected. When we were kids, we sang that old spiritual, "Joshua fit the battle of Jericho, Jericho, Jericho. Joshua fit the battle of Jericho, and the walls are come a-tumbling down." Yeah. Joshua was an Old Testament Hebrew name. New Testament Greek, Joshua is actually translated Jesus. Jesus fought the battle of Golgotha, and the walls came tumbling down. Walls between Jews and Gentiles, the wall between men and women, the wall between people of different colors and cultures, the walls between saints and sinners. Could have been Jesus, not Robert Frost, who first said, "Something there is that doesn't love a wall." So as I think about these walls and I think about this lesson and Jesus breaking down the barriers, the first thing I think we need to see is that all forms of hatred come from Satan and not from God. I hope you already understand that. You can't love God and hate your brother or your sister. At the end of the New Testament, there's three little epistles, little one-page books. We call them books, but they're only pages. 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. And 1st John, the first little epistle written by John, he says, "Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love." There's no hatred in God. God is pure, unadulterated love. Pure love. Anyone who says that they hate anyone for any reason can't be filled with the Spirit of God. It's a logical impossibility. I was going through my notes this week, starting to throw stuff out. You could throw some stuff out too, by the way. I found a little article about the Red Cross back in the 80s. They were collecting medicine and clothing and foods to send to Rwanda in Africa. And there came a box, and in this box, they opened the box up, and there were lots of white sheets, and there was a note in there. And the note said, "We have recently converted and became Christians, and we will no longer need these white sheets." They were members of the KKK, Ku Klux Klan. We will know, those of you who don't remember what the Ku Klux Klan was, they are a group of white folks, white supremacists who hate blacks. They turned in their white sheets. And the Red Cross cut those sheets up into bandages, and they bandaged black people in Rwanda who were in a war-torn fight. There is no hatred in God. God is love. All forms of hatred are from Satan. How can a Christian hate anyone in Jesus' name? Jesus came to break down those walls of hostility. And so God's nature is love. Wherever love reigns, there God reigns. And it doesn't have to be Christian. It can be Buddhist. It can be Confucian. It can be Muslim. Wherever love reigns, that's the essence of God's presence. We put all these titles and separations in. But where love reigns, there is God. Love is from God. That's the first thing. The second thing, as I thought about this week, especially in light of Colorado, it occurred to me that we all belong to one family. My little Finlander mind said, here's an epiphany. And I went back to Adam and Eve. Now, you all have taken science classes and understand that that God's hand was in creation. The early biblical writers talked about our father and mother originally, man and woman, Adam and Eve. Adam was formed by sand. God blew his ruah, his spirit, and became man. Out of his rib became woman. The story of humankind. And God gave the command, told them to go forth and multiply. And you know what? One of my little pieces of epiphany was, that's the only command we've ever obeyed. Even the Lutheran preachers laughing at that one. You ever think about that, Jim? Yeah. But we had one set of parents. And that means, Lois, you're my sister. That means you're my brother, Dick. That means we are brothers and sisters. That means that factory worker in China who works 18 hours a day is my brother. That tired woman in Sudan who's dragging around that starving child is my sister. That means that angry teenager in Pakistan who's seething because of an unjust world is my brother. We are one family. We are the family of God. We are brothers and sisters. And I hope that one day the walls of hostility are going to fall down and be erased. And I hope that one day God's love will reign in every one of us. That was my big epiphany. That's the second thing. The third thing, as I think about, is the coming of the kingdom of God will begin only when each one of us has God's love living in our hearts. It's got to start here. There's that little chorus that we taught our vacation Bible schoolers a few years ago that says, let there be peace on earth and let it begin with me. And that's the way peace always comes. It's got to start here. It's the place, as God's people, we have to have our hearts open to God's love and then pass it on to each other, to our neighbor, to our family, to our kids and grandkids. We may not be able to solve all the world's problems. We may not be able to speak to all the world's peoples. We may not be able to personally intervene and prevent the death of innocent people in places where hatred is strong and life is cheap. But if we pray for God's love to live within each one of us, and then live out that life day by day by day by day, so that everyone we come in contact with will know and is touched by that love, then we will have made the world a better place. And we would have lived the kind of life that God would want us to live. And so as I think about this, do you see any other hope for the world? Is there any other hope for the world than that? I don't know of one. I don't know of any. Anything else that'll work. So we need leaders and we need citizens who are committed to love and committed to peace and committed to to justice for all people everywhere. Or hatred is going to destroy us all. And if we're totally committed to it, I think we can find some new solutions to old problems. Anyway, God's intent is that we live as one family and we share his love for each other. And it's got to start here. And I hope and pray that you and me together can surrender our lives to the love of God. That's my prayer. Amen. And God's peace and love be with us now and always. Amen. Let's join in singing our next hymn, 734. Congregation, please rise. Let us join in the offertory prayer in the middle of page 4. Let us pray. In loving response to your gracious blessing, we come with the offering of our time and treasure. May these gifts bring hope and healing to a world in need. Amen. With reverence for the earth, those in need, and the whole human family, let us offer our prayers to God. Let us take a moment for silent prayer. For the Church of Christ, for missionaries and all who proclaim the good news through word and deed, let us pray. For leaders who will govern with wisdom, compassion, and justice,
for countries and places torn by division, hostility, warfare, or poverty. Let us pray. For land, water, or air threatened by pollution or neglect, for endangered species, and for all plants and animals of creation, let us pray. For those living with stress, fear, addiction, abuse, grief, or illness, we especially remember in our prayers this morning Barb Westerland, Bob Vorlachek, Ron Hass, Gary Miller, Dean Newman, and those who we name in our hearts before you who need your healing touch. For all who long for rest or healing, let us pray. For this community of faith, your household, may the Spirit make of us a temple, a dwelling place for you. Let us pray. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for the many blessings you have granted to us. We thank you for your Spirit that moves in and through us. Allow us to waken to your love. We ask your presence to be with the Meyer family as they mourn Donna's mother's death. Comfort them in their mourning. Give them good memories. We pray for those families who are hurting and suffering because of the events in Colorado. Allow this to be a time that will bring people together, that they can find your love. We ask your presence to be with our family and friends wherever they find themselves these days. Keep them safe and in your loving care. We give thanks for all witnesses to the risen Christ, our shepherd. Make us one and unite us in his reconciling peace. Let us pray. Receive our hopes and prayers, O God of mercy, for great is your faithfulness in Christ Jesus our Lord.
Amen.
Let's join in the prayer our Lord has taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven,
hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
The God of steadfastness and encouragement grant you to live in harmony with one another, in accordance with Christ Jesus.
Amen.
The God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. The God of all grace, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, bless you now and forever.
Amen.
Go in peace. Christ is with you.
Thanks be to God.
Our closing hymn is Ala Bare.
Rejoicing, and all were singing praises to the Lord.